What is up, kangaroo chasers, and welcome to another edition of Chasing Kangaroos Live here on Facebook. It's 8:15 on a Monday night, and I'm here on Facebook Live looking at myself, talking to myself. I'm, of course, Michael Carboni. You can call me Carbs. And I did this last week. It was the first time back for about a year without podcasting. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to jump on Facebook Live. I'm going to record it. I'm going to release it as a podcast later. So for anyone that's watching live can jump in, ask some questions, have a chat with me. Just type away and ask any questions you like. Thanks to people starting to join right now, which is always cool. But obviously not expecting heaps here at the live Facebook chat. And just doing this so that I can record, so that we can jump on the podcast. We'll rip this audio later and we'll go live on the podcast. So really it's just going to be me talking to myself again. As always, feel free to ask some questions if you're live in the chat. So the question that we're talking about today, or the big topic that we're talking about today, is one that's been in the media for the last few weeks, maybe even a month or so. And in fact, it probably dates a few years. So if you go, you'll find articles dating back to like 2020, 2021, asking should the NRL buy, acquire, or invest in the Super League? And it's popped up again recently. Of course, Matty Johns, probably about a month ago, asked the question, said that he heard rumours that it was going to happen, and more recently, Phil Gould on his own podcast, Six Tackles with Gus, he also really strongly feeling, he expressed some real strong feelings about how important it would be or how great it would be for the NRL to acquire a stake in Super League. While we're at it, we're shouting out Gus Gould's podcast. I'm going to shout out Hypothetic RL as well. Can't forget some of the independent guys like that. Dave, you're welcome. So the question is, should the NRL acquire Super League? Should the NRL invest in Super League? And thanks to those that are jumping on now to the live chat. And so why, I guess, is this question being asked? And the main reason is the NRL at the moment is in probably the strongest position it's ever been financially. Alan Taylor, good morning from Canada. Hope you're well, buddy. Thanks for listening. Good night from Sydney. Good evening from Sydney. The NRL's in a much stronger position than it's ever been financially. You know, Vegas sort of showed that. And there's a lot of talk about the NRL expanding and growing all the time. We're at 17 clubs now. They're looking at getting to 20 very quickly. They're investing in all sorts of pubs and clubs and things like that as well. So their real estate portfolio is growing as well. So the NRL really building a war chest, and really looking to invest. So the discussion of should they invest in Super League is a big one. And Super League, I guess, is the next, obviously the next biggest competition, rugby league competition in the world. Super League fans will argue that they're bigger than the NRL, you know, because they won a couple of World Club challenges. But tongue in cheek, obviously, you know, the NRL much bigger than Super League. To me, the Super League and good friend of the pod, Steve Birchall, mentioned this as well on Twitter today. He said that Super League are an underperforming asset with huge potential for growth. And that's why the NRL would be looking at it. So let's make no mistake, they probably wouldn't be able to buy, or they probably wouldn't buy 100% of the Super League. Firstly, what are they buying? I'm not sure if all the clubs' brands are owned by Super League or anything like that. Are they just buying the top league? What happens to the rest of the RFL clubs underneath it? So they're not really buying the league, but they could definitely invest over there. IMG have already invested over there. They're doing some good things over there. So let's not, no mistake about that. They are doing some good things. We're seeing a lot of great work happening around broadcast deals around the world for the Super League, which is fantastic. What IMG have done as well in terms of ranking and rating the clubs and giving them some criteria for development is huge as well, and it's really starting to set a standard for Super League clubs. Still a few things there that aren't working. So there's a lot of talk at the moment about Catalans and French clubs in particular. If Toulouse were in the top league as well, that they would have to pay expenses and pay for cover flights for away clubs and not be able to access any of the funding from the general pool that the English clubs would get. So that sort of stuff I don't like. And you hear stuff like that, and a lot of English fans say things like, fuck, can't the NRL just buy us and make things right? The question is, would the NRL be able to make things right if they were to acquire a share or invest in the Super League? And I threw this question out to our social media channels, especially on Twitter and Instagram, where a flood of responses came, pros and cons, about should this happen. And I want to go through a few of the ones that came up a lot. And the first one really was about alignment in general. So the alignment of rules. You know, at the moment we have two competitions with different rules. When we play International Rugby League, whose rules are we playing under? It's always the question that's asked, and it's always interesting. But we should be playing under the same rules. One sport around the world, the same rules. Like, that is one thing that people see if NRL were involved or purchased part of the Super League. An alignment of rules would be something that everyone seems to think would happen. Alignment of season length, season kickoff, ending. The reason why that's actually important is because we start to talk about, hey, is World Club Challenge a permanent part of the calendar? Where does it sit? Where does it play? These are conversations that could happen if the NRL weren't part of the Super League. And also cementing in some international fixtures as well is another big one that everyone seems to agree. So we're talking alignment of rules, season length, World Club Challenge, internationals. So all of those things aligned. Now, the big question I have is, there's a couple of things here. So, yep, it would be great. And one of my biggest frustrations is that the NRL and Super League play under different rules. When the NRL changes a rule, they don't consult the Super League and vice versa. To me, it's a massive issue. So that would be great to clean that up. But the question I really have is, does the NRL really need to invest in Super League for them to be able to align on rules? Like, I don't think that's actually necessary for stuff like this, right? So really, the two parties should be getting together regularly to discuss things like rule changes, and really they should all be in agreement if a rule needed to be changed. It's probably not as easy as that, but certainly doesn't need the NRL to invest in Super League for that to happen. The other big thing is people talk about, you know, it would fix the international game and the international calendar. But the problem that I see with that is that, well, as we know, International Rugby League, anyone that listens to the Chasing Kangaroos podcast or has followed me for any amount of time would know that International Rugby League is not just Australia and England and New Zealand, for example. There are so many more nations that play the game. So if the NRL buys Super League and then they run the international calendar, does this actually help, you know, the Netherlands or the Philippines? Does it help South Africa? Does it help Nigeria? Does it help Canada? Does it help Brazil? I could keep going. Greece, Italy. I could keep going on and on and on. So there's this whole thought, and this was a big thought that that Gus Gould mentioned on his podcast. But by purchasing Super League, the NRL would effectively wipe out International Rugby League, the International Rugby League, the old federation, which probably sounds good to a few of you. But will it leave behind all the nations that are building up and all the great amateur competitions and people that are working hard on rugby league in, like I said, places like Greece, Netherlands, Brazil, Canada, Nigeria, Kenya? The list goes on and on and on. So I'm not too sure about that one, but alignment was certainly something that came up a lot. Like, it came up heaps. If anyone, there's a few of you watching and it's awesome. If anyone has questions or comments, feel free to drop them in here and I'll try and mention as many as I can. I'll try and answer as many as I can. So thanks for joining. If you're joining late, check us out on the podcast as well. Download or subscribe to the pod and I'll be chucking this up live shortly. Secondly, the next thing that everyone or a lot of English fans, Matthew Payne, hey mate, how are you? A lot of English fans are concerned. When Matty John spoke first about a month ago about the NRL acquiring Super League, one of the big reasons was converting their or changing their competition back to winter. So it would be Australian summer, English winter, and then the NRL would be played in Australian winter, English summer. This really goes back to the old days where you'd see guys like Peter Sterling, Brett Kenny, etc., playing NRL or playing New South Wales Rugby League at the time, and then playing in the English League in that same year. In alternate seasons, which was pretty cool back in the day. They changed for a reason, right? And a lot of English fans are saying, no way. There is absolutely no way that they should go back to a winter league. It's already like pretty cold over there in summer for the summer comp as it is. So for them to go back to a winter league, would be a little bit crazy. The big thing as well is they're going directly up against Premier League, which, let's be honest, there is no way they can compete. There is no way that the Super League can compete with Premier League in the winter. So I think it's probably important that they stick to summer. I understand the reason behind it. You can get players, playing in the NRL, and then once the NRL season's done, they can go over to the Super League. I would think that a better way to do that, and if the NRL did want a sort of comp that works side by side seasonally, maybe a better way to do that and a more cost-effective way to do that, and let me know if you agree in the comments, but maybe the NRL should consider buying a stake or buying the entire French Elite One. The French Elite One already plays in their winter, in our summer. It's quite nice. The weather over there is quite nice in South France at that time of year. It wouldn't be as expensive as a stake in the Super League. Matthew James says yes. Thanks, buddy. He agrees with me. It wouldn't be as expensive. And for me, like, I rather see a guy like Joey Manu, if he can't play for the Roosters, maybe play in the French Rugby League, the French Elite One, owned by the NRL France, maybe. Instead of French Rugby Union. I mean, that's just much better than me. That would be huge. It would definitely help the game in France. It could be a good little feeder, young French players' pathways into the NRL as well. It would strengthen the French national side. It would mean France versus England is more likely to happen more often. Heck, even France versus Australia, France versus New Zealand, France versus Fiji, etc., etc. All of that will improve. Alan Taylor. 1985 Challenge Cup was billed as a showdown against two greats, Peter Sterling and Brett Kenny. That's right. And I guess that's what Matty Johns is wanting to bring back, that sort of thing. But I don't know. English fans, if you're out there listening at the moment, it's probably a bit early for you guys. But if you're listening to this, let me know. Do you want to go back to a winter competition or not? Look, I'd rather see the NRL by the French League if that's the case. One of the things that sort of sprung off the back of this, so a lot of the comments, if we move to a winter league for Super League, does that mean that the Super League would then become a feeder comp for the NRL? And it's a very natural concern, I think. For the Super League, they wouldn't want to be just a feeder competition for the NRL. And I'd like to think that the NRL wouldn't actually do that. They wouldn't be investing. It would be a heavy investment if they were to do this. They wouldn't invest in it just to become a feeder league. I mean, essentially, a lot of young English players aspire to come to the NRL anyway without the NRL having to invest in that. Damien Irvine, how are you, mate? For the English game to suggest going back to winter would be negative because of winter being cold. Let me read all of this. It's a long one. And secondly, because it would need to compete with Premier League, doesn't stack up. Many rugby league clubs here already squeeze rumorous friendlies into Boxing Day and all through late December and January because they have no money and want to raise revenue during those deep winter months. Secondly, it doesn't compete with Premier League now, and it will never, regardless of winter or summer comp. That's true, Damien. Definitely true, mate. And good to get someone from England to get their perspective as well. So, mate, thanks for joining us tonight. You feel free to jump in the chat with me later if you like. In fact, mate, it'll be good to get your thoughts. So, would the Super League become a feeder comp? Look, I'd like to think there is absolutely no way that the NRL would want to do that. I could see a healthy mix of players coming here, going there, swapping young players, giving them an experience and an opportunity. A few years ago we saw Harry Grant go from Melbourne to West because he needed, an opportunity to play. There was a player swap. So you could see a lot of that between the Super League and the NRL. But I would absolutely fucking hate to see Super League become a feeder comp for the NRL. Another big thing, which was very interesting, was a lot of English fans. And hold on a sec, Sammy, let the NRL buy the French cop and develop it. Sammy, where have you been, mate? I just said that. How fantastic would that be? You might even get a team in Paris, mate, if that actually happened. Which leads me to my next point, right? If the NRL had full control of the two major competitions in the world, a lot of fans in the UK in particular, or a lot of people around the Chasing Kangaroos channels say things like, oh, bring in the NRL, they would definitely focus on London, they would definitely focus on Dublin and Cardiff, and they'll bring back Toronto, and they'll definitely add some French teams. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. Like, I don't know where all of that comes from, to be honest with you. I would probably think, or I would think that it's much more likely, based on how the NRL's, grown over here, that they would actually shore up some of the heartlands first. And there's nothing wrong with that, but we spent a few years after the Super League War building up Sydney and building up now Brisbane. Like, when we finally expanded, we went to the Gold Coast and we went to north of Brisbane. We stopped talking about merging clubs and relocating clubs from Sydney and started, really focusing and building the brands like the Eels and the Bulldogs, Tigers, Dragons, etc., etc., Panthers, Manly, Souths, Roosters. How could I forget those? So the NRL really focused on shoring up the heartlands before they're now talking about expansion. So, like I said, our first expansion was a team in Brisbane in a long time. But only now are we starting to talk about Perth, Christchurch, Papua New Guinea, Adelaide, all that sort of thing. Alex Weller, did you hear what James Graham said on his podcast about his idea for a global comp? Alex, I did hear that. Look, Jammer has some big ideas. I don't know if all of them would work, but I think it's great that he throws them out there, because if you know how far we can go, you sort of come back to something that's a bit more realistic, I definitely believe. But thanks, Alex, and I love listening to Gemma, that's for sure. So what I think the NRL would actually do is, yes, I do think they would focus on London. I think it is important that they would have a presence in London. But before they start bringing in Dublins and Cardiff and bringing in Paris again, or bringing back Toronto, before they start doing things like that, I think they'd try and shore up the heartland. So they'd be thinking about, can we bring back Bradford? Can we make some movement into places like Manchester and Liverpool? I know it sounds crazy, but the two biggest cities in the north, there's plenty of rugby league activity happening around them and connecting them on the M62, but there's no real Super League presence in Liverpool. There's no real Super League presence in the heart of Manchester City as well. And really, those are two big opportunities that I would think that the NRL would look at in terms of shoring up heartlands. Only then would they start to think about, okay, do we bring back Toronto? Can we move in? Can we have a club in Ireland? Can we have a club in Barcelona? I don't know. We'd go crazy, right? We've got a few comments. I'm going to read some of these. So Ryan Chidji, sorry, mate. You'd kiss goodbye whatever is left of promotion relegation if NRL was involved, as it's financially not a viable part of the game. Ryan, I don't know if you are saying that like it's a bad thing. Personally, fuck promotion and relegation, to be quite frank. I don't think it's necessary in the Super League. Works for Premier League because there's like five or six divisions and there's such a great fairy tale story. Clubs can move up and down. It's amazing. And there's a huge following, huge demand, huge backing, so much finance behind it. We just don't have that in the Super League. So I don't think it's necessary. I don't think it's a bad thing if you kiss goodbye promotion and relegation. Sammy from Paris. Paris is a long way from becoming a thing again, but not penalising Catalans for being successful would be a good start. Sammy, 100%, man. The fact that there's even talk about Catalans having to pay for flights for teams to come and play them, is fucking stupid. I can't believe that's even a conversation. Just when I thought, IMG were doing good things, and they were moving in the right direction, with Super League, they come out with something like that, which is just, I mean, what are they trying to do? Kill off the French clubs? Like, it's just absolutely ridiculous. Another thing, I'll keep running through these. Oh, Alan Taylor, firstly. Promotion and relegation should be considered consigned to history. It doesn't work, and as soon as fans in the UK understand that, the better. I agree, Alan. But what do we know, mate? I'm just a bloke from Sydney. You're a bloke in Canada. What do we know about English sporting culture, right? should the NRL buy Super League? Another reason that a lot of people, another pro that people considered for the NRL buying Super League was one brand. You could call it NRL England or NRL UK or NRL Europe, and you could then replicate this in other countries as well. Not a bad idea. One of the comments against that was, look, most English fans that don't already follow the Super League don't know what NRL means. But the one thing that does come up a lot, especially in conversations on this podcast or on my social media channels, is this whole thing about, the two rugbies and should we change our name and what should it be? And we don't have to change the name, but if the brand becomes more reliant on NRL than the rugby or the league, then it's not necessarily a bad thing. I don't know if that's the main reason or the main pro for NRL acquiring Super League, but it's interesting, right? What else have we got? Not too much. There's a couple more points. So two big questions that came out of this is, would it mean more international footy? And I believe the answer to that would be yes. Because like we said at the start, the alignment of the rules, the alignment of the season length, the alignment of internationals, there would definitely be a case for Australia v England on a regular basis. There'd definitely be a case for seasons matching up and room for international footy at the end of it. If the NRL had control of all of the professional rugby league talent around the world, it would probably make organising international competition a little bit easier as well. But again, right back to what I said at the start, that's just one of those things, right? Where, does the NRL need to purchase Super League for this to happen? Can they just have better discussions? Alan Taylor, I'm loving the comments, guys. Keep them coming for anyone that wants to include their say. Alan Taylor's back. It's time for Catalan and Toulouse to take a stand and say a collective non, or no in English, guys, to paying for travel and visiting teams. And I agree, man. It's fucking ridiculous. I can't say it enough. And in fact, if the NRL, the question has been, should the NRL buy Super League? What I'm thinking more and more is the NRL should buy French Elite One and they should bring Catalans and Toulouse along with them. Wouldn't that be fucking spectacular? Joshy Knight, how are you, buddy? Over in Canada as well. A few Canadian boys on the live tonight. Good to see you guys. Josh, at the end of NRL's 5-year venture in Vegas, we will see an NRL Americas, NRL UK, NRL Europe, and NRL Australasia. You heard it here first. Season 2030. Josh, I'm going to remind you of that in 6 years' time. But it'll be fucking mad. It'll be phenomenal. That's for sure. What else was there? I guess the last point was really around World Club Challenge. And if the NRL purchased a share of Super League or invested in Super League, would there be more of a reason for them to care about World Club Challenge? I think if that were the case and there was more alignment between the two, then we would definitely see at least a locked-in World Club Challenge, same time, same place, or at least a locked-in format of a home and away, sort of year on year. We may see opportunities for an expanded World Club Challenge. So would you see the top two clubs from, the two grand finalists or the premiers and the grand final winners or runners-up if those are the same? So you're more likely to see things like that. I think so many opportunities. Sammy's back again. I love you, Sammy. NRL MEA too then. I think he's responding to Josh. So if you're going to have NRL Americas, NRL UK, NRL Europe, NRL Australasia, have an NRL Middle East Africa too with the likes of Morocco, Lebanon, and why not Qatar and Saudi. I played against Qatar and Saudi in 2009, 2010, but I have no idea what happened to them. We'll have to get you on to chat about that one day, Sammy. But guys, that's about it from me. Thanks for joining anyone who's been listening live or watching along live on Facebook. Anyone who sort of added their two cents on Instagram or Twitter as well around this question, thank you very much. Alan Taylor, I'd love to see a return of the Super League War World Club Challenge where all teams got to play down under. That was huge. I don't know if that's sustainable every year, but I remember it being very cool as a young 12-year-old back in 1997. Dean Williamson, I might have to stick around if these comments keep coming. What do you think the NRL would do with the Challenge Cup? Mate, I think they'd lock it in every year at the very least. So lock it in same time every year. I don't think there's an issue with the start of the year. I think they'd probably like alternate, lock in the alternation of it. So 1 year in Australia, 1 year in the. Guys, we got cut off there. Sorry to all of those that we lost along the way, but just got cut off due to poor connection. But ending off by talking World Club Challenge. Thank you to everyone who jumped on live and asked some questions, was a part of the conversation. If you came in late, please, if you haven't already, jump on wherever you listen to your podcasts. Subscribe to Chasing Kangaroos. You'll get this. I'll rip the full audio. You can go back and listen to this a little bit later. You can listen to the Rugby League in America guys as well, doing an awesome, awesome job over on our Chasing Kangaroos podcast network. We're trying to build a community, guys. So, you know, it's a small international rugby league community, but I believe that there is hunger for it. There is desire for it. There are more people like us who want to see the game played in more places, who want to hear about rugby league being played all over the world. So if you're a freak like me and you love listening or talking about this sort of stuff and you have friends who might want to do the same, then share it along. Get Vossi on. I'd love to get Vossi on. I'd love to talk to Vossi. But please share the podcast, share the social media pages, tag people, comment. Let's build the biggest international rugby league community there is that has ever been seen. Thanks for chasing kangaroos with me. I'm Michael Carboni. I'll chuck this on our podcast if you're listening to this live. And if not, I'll be back on Facebook Live next Monday at 8:15 p.m. Australian, Sydney, Eastern Daylight Savings Time. So jump on and let's chat about whatever the topic of discussion is of the day. I'll see you next time, guys. Cheers.